Gracious God, we give you our time this morning, and we thank you that we have such a great privilege to bear with, to lift up, to fortify our brothers and sisters around the world who today struggle and suffer in ways that we probably know almost nothing about. Ask, Lord, change us as we pray. Holy Spirit, intercede with groanings as we pray. Almighty God, glorify the name of Christ as we pray. And Father from heaven, be pleased. Hear our prayers and do your miraculous work for your glory and to your praise. This we ask in your great name. Amen. Acts chapter 5, as I said, we're going to move quickly this morning and just see. These are things that the church has always experienced at some level in every generation. You've got some bullets there. You can just follow along and jot in those blanks. Acts chapter 5, we'll look first at verses 12 through 14. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number. Pause there. Why do you notice four things that happened in the early church that are happening often around the world today amongst God's people? First, miracles at times. We see that right here. Acts chapter 5, miracles. Second, they are shunned by some of the people. They are shunned by some. Third, ironically, at the same time as being shunned by some, we see awe, fear, and respect for the believers. Awe, fear, and respect from many towards the believers. And lastly, we see both in spite of and because of the shunning and the awe, we see many people called to salvation. This is how God has often worked in the world, probably is always at work in the world somewhere in this way, and is still doing so today. Jump down to verses 17 through 19 of Acts chapter 5. But the high priest rose up, along with all of his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles, and they put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, pause there, three things to notice. When God begins to work, often powerful people get jealous. Powerful people are jealous. Arrest and imprisonment, which often accompanies the work of God amongst his people. And again, lo and behold, miracles. One more time. Jump down, Acts 5, verse 27. When they had brought them, that means when the council had brought the apostles whom they arrested forward, when they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." That's because at the day of Pentecost, Peter was reminding how the nation was guilty of the crucifixion of Christ, the innocent one, and particularly the leaders. "You are intending to bring this man's blood upon us," 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Three things to notice. The believers, as often happens, are tried and then questioned. They're brought before courts. The mockery of justice that it often is. They are tried and questioned. Second, they are ordered to cease speaking in the name of Jesus. And then thirdly, more Christian witness. Even more Christian witness. Peter, when the religious leaders say, "Hey, we are the ones who speak for God around here, and we're telling you that God is telling you, don't speak anymore in this name." And Peter's like, "Dude, I personally heard from God. You tell me, should I obey God or you?" And the rest of the story will go on, and we know the apostles ultimately will give their lives because they refuse to stop speaking of Christ. And then drop down, Acts 5, start verse 33. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they intended to kill them. So in response to Peter's obstinance, they said, "Well, I guess they just signed their death warrant. We'll just have to kill him." Drop down to 40. Intervening there, someone on the council stands up and says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, let's not kill them. providentially, God preserved them at this point. Verse 40, they took this man's advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. By the way, those three words, they flogged them. You understand what it is to get the 40 lashes minus one. That would shred their back and often, in some cases, would kill people. That by itself. They flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for Christ's name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Five more things to notice. Again, powerful people enraged. Fine, if you're not going to listen to us, then we'll just kill you. And they had some means to do that. Powerful people enraged. They're then tortured and beaten. They are threatened now, not just commanded, but threatened not to speak of Jesus. And then, ironically, fourth, rejoicing. Because, guys, we got to do just what our Savior did. We get to suffer for righteousness in the name of our Savior. We are counted worthy to have glory as those who suffer in His name. We get to be just like Him in this. Rejoicing. And then finally, every day, 42, and in the temple and from house to house, wow, sounds like kind of all the time, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We continue to see preaching and witness. Friends, we will see all of these things as we speak of our brothers and sisters in the faith today around in different parts of the world. Jawahar and Amulya live in India. In the state where they live, there are less than 1% of the people are Christian. Over 80% are Hindu. By that description, my guess is this is southern India. It might be Uttar Pradesh, but the account I have doesn't name it. Nationwide, Christians make up about 5% of the 1.4 billion people in India. Nearly half of the states in India have anti-conversion laws. That means you're not allowed to change from your religion to Christianity, whether it's Hindu or Islam. In the state where Jawahar and Amulya live, the Vishva Hindu Parishad group, a Hindu nationalist organization, is very active. Jawahar had served as pastor for 9 years. By the way, you might want to jot down some of these details because these are fodder for prayer, if you want. That's FYI. Jawahar served as pastor for 9 years. It was Christmas season of 2021. On a Sunday, after a very simple routine worship service that morning, Jawahar and Amulya gathered for a small prayer meeting back at their house with a handful of other leaders. Shouts interrupted their gathering. Activists from the Bajrang Dal, a youth wing of the VHP, had gathered and brought the police, showed up at their door, and were demanding action against the Christians. At that time, three leaders were arrested, Jawahar and two elders of the church, and taken to the police station. When they arrived at the station, they saw a crowd of 150, a mob, surrounding the station in preparation for their coming. They began shouting and began mentioning accusations against the three men. There were some who said that these three men had just that morning forced people to attend a conversion meeting. Two people who were from a village a number of miles away claimed that they had been summoned there and then forced to listen to the reading of the Bible before they were then sprinkled with water in a conversion ceremony. They also claimed that the Christians had promised them that they would give free education to their children and free health care to the families if they would convert to Christianity. After detaining the leaders, the police then, in searching, found in the home a Bible and a pot capable of holding water. In their eyes, that was enough proof to detain the men. They were then beaten severely for nearly an hour and held. their church at this time, hearing of it, scattered in fear. To this day, the church has not resumed meeting. Unfortunately, even Amulia did not get befriended by anyone from the church or the other wives. She was alone. Amulia struggled to find legal help. She had to borrow money at an exorbitant rate in order to pay for legal fees for her husband and the men. She had to put up family land in collateral for the loans that she had to take out. Eventually, the three men were released on bail after 45 days in jail, held because someone told a story and they had a Bible and a pot. Eventually, Jawahar and Amulia could not repay the debt, and so the family land was taken from them because of the crushing debt. Jawahar, since then, has worked as a laborer at Pennies a Day. He hopes to one day open the church again. In 2023, the trial proceedings continued to the point where the three leaders were eventually convicted and they were sentenced for transgressing the conversion laws, anti-conversion laws. They were sentenced to 2 years in prison and more fees. But they were never put in prison. They are currently still out on bail, but seeking to make an appeal to yet a higher court to overturn the ruling. We can pray for that. Jawahar and Amulia today worship in another small church with other believers where they find encouragement. Jawahar says, "My faith is still strong. My faith is still growing. Please pray that the church would be able to start and start again soon. I will not leave my faith. I will not leave this work." You can look at the rest of the notes there for Chaminda and Janani in Sri Lanka, very close to, adjacent to India. You can see their ministry over the course of some decades, how Buddhist leaders there have destroyed the church, beaten leaders, detained others, attacked, and on and on. And yet, they, by their faithfulness, still maintain a reputation for Christ in the community that is still drawing people to the Lord. All right, brothers and sisters, with that, would you turn quickly, find a few folks, just give your name and start praying. Thanks. We'll close you up in just a minute.